Hey guys, my name is Ben, and you are currently tuning in to The Intern Show, where we speak to past, present, and future interns about internships and maybe a little bit more.
And I'm Kathleen Tan, your co-host. Now today on episode 2, we have none other than Nikki Un. Nikki is currently an intern at Leo Burnett, but is also involved in other projects on the side. Now, tell us more about yourself, Nikki.
Yeah, so I'm 26, just kind of entered the ad agency life, and I kind of worked around many different fields, actually every field possible. And then now I started NeoSpice, and I also teach on Saturdays, and just always doing some random things.
Okay, great. So just tell us a little bit about what is your internship, you know, life has been. How many internships have you done? If it's your first time ever doing an internship, or what kind of areas you have done an internship in whatever company?
Right. Well, my current internship is for strategic planning, which is a very niche part of ad agency. So it's very different. It's not your stereotypical idea of like creative ad agencies. So I specifically chose that. But I didn't really have internships before, but I did work. So I worked for a Korean PR company, which was an equestrian club. I was a manager and teacher for a child development center. And then I was a personal tutor in London for business. And then I was a producer and liaison for Makers Movement. So, I mean, I've had all of that, you know, but then now kind of coming into this, like, it's been a shock in a system. And, I think it's also because I was in uni. So uni is like a bubble, you know? So I might have been like 5 years older, but then like you still kind of get used to that community. Your mentality like changes. I say woke now, you know?
Right. Like, oh, you put up with Gen Zs. Woke, guys.
Oh, God. Like now in the office when I say, oh, it's been a minute, they're like, it's been more than a minute. I was like, my minute doesn't mean a minute. I'm sorry. Like, you know? Oh. So I've become one of those people. Yeah. And so when I went into strat planning, it was like everything that I was always interested in. It was always a part of who I was, but it was a part I kind of lost trying to adjust to uni. So I don't know, like it's very interesting, and it's a very steep learning curve. Yeah. And it breeds a lot of insecurity and self-doubt, because I'm just like, oh my God. I was going to swear, but oh my God, like, you know, everyone is so smart and everyone's so diverse there. And they're like not only like young and creative, but being in the strat like planning side, it's the most interesting, because you have like chess players that are turning data and research into creative campaigns.
Wow.
You know, so it's a very interesting field that nobody knows in advertising. Like, we didn't learn about it. It was just randomly we had a talk and I was like, what is this? I want to go into this. You know, so that's the new side of creative and the agencies. And so you're like planning and working with the creative. You're part of the creative team, but you're thinkers, and you mix psychology, business, and that creative stuff. Yeah, so that's kind of been what I've been trying to figure out.
Yeah, okay. From what you're telling me, you've had so many different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You came from a full-time job, and then I'm guessing you stopped your full-time job to go into uni and start your uni life and stuff like that. So what was the reason that you decided, hey, okay, I'm just going to move on from what I'm doing currently and maybe go back into education?
Right.
Has education been really that important for you that you wanted to stop working full-time to continue furthering your studies?
Well, I mean, there are many factors. Like, I did have to stop in between, and that was like, firstly, it was this YOLO offer of going on a gap year to teach someone in London. And that never happens. And it was the most random thing ever. So I was like, okay, go for that. And then when I came back, I realized I didn't want to stay in Malaysia. I didn't want to study while studying. And then while I was applying for that, I was working and everything. But I've always been restless, so I worked like 4 different projects at once, or 4 different jobs. And then I had to stop, and I decided it was more like sustainable for me to help my parents out at that time. But my parents always wanted me to go back into uni. And so working in the full time that I was at, like, the child development center, I was there for like 4 years, and I was so happy. Like, it was a place that I really loved, but that was part that was missing. And it was like, I kind of felt like stagnant, you know? And when you're young, you kind of still want to like progress and, and kind of get challenges. So then I decided like, okay, now it's time, we're stable and everyone wants me to go to uni, you know? And I always felt left out because I watched my friends graduate and everything and I was working. And like none of them ever belittled it, you know? They were just like, yo, that's dope, you know, you have more experience. But I was just like, I need to just tick that off the list. You know, and it was fun, although now I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's just like, okay, I need to learn that, but also like, okay.
Okay.
No, I think it's just interesting because a lot of people go through internships first and then they go get a real job. But you sort of started on the other flip side, right? So you had a few working experiences that were real full-time jobs.
Yeah.
And now you're in the internship.
Yeah. And
so how does that work out?
So I mean, like, people think it's an advantage. It should be, kind of, you know. But I take it, like, it makes me feel extra insecure. Like, so it helped me get my placement. So I didn't even need an interview. They just saw my CV and was like, yep, like, hire her, which is great. But then at the same time, like, I don't like that. Like, I want to be looked at as the underdog where you have, like, no expectations and I, like, kill it. Then, like, you setting a bar that I'm like, now, if I don't do well, I'm going to kind of, like, disappoint you, you know?
Right.
And I mean, like, I don't know, because I also was in that bubble. Like, I call uni a bubble. So I might have, like, worked in between and everything. So I feel like it's so separate, you know? Like, I don't know if it kind of... I mean, it's good to kind of have it. So at least I know how to deal with, like, leaves. There's, like, systems in place and management, you know, and kind of writing a formal email or something, doing pitches, which helps. I mean, I still think people should just get a job, mostly learn responsibility, you know? But yeah, like, other than that, I think there are, like, pros and cons, you know? I'm a very gray area person, so I'm just like, it's great, but it's also like, no, I just want to be looked at as a puppy.
But it's interesting, though. So do you think that in the current time, it's not so much of what you study anymore, it's just having that paper qualification for you to have that upper hand?
I think in the industry I'm in. So we had this discussion with our head of strat. So we were discussing that because we were trying to figure out people, millennials, Gen Zs and stuff. And we're like, you know, you've got this kid just advocating about climate change, whatever.
Right, right.
And you're like, does age really matter anymore? But it does. Like, it does in a lot of, like, areas, you know, if you're going into, like, banking or, you know, business, like, unless you're a startup, but if you're going into those MNCs, you need to have, like, that experience. You need to have all of that. But in creative, like, no one really... You firstly don't really need a degree in advertising. Everyone comes from, like, the most random places. A lot of people are, like, journalists, maybe, or, like, business or something. We even have one of the youngest creative directors, youngest copywriters, and he didn't even go to uni. He was just, like, law school... Or apply for this. And then he applied for that. 4 months later, he wins an award. And then now he's like the youngest creative director. I don't know whether in the region or in the country or in the company. But you know what I mean? So I think like in our industry, it's all about the ideas. It's about the thoughts. It's how you present it. And yeah, I think that would also be a big challenge. Because honestly, I realized communication... Wow, it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and we will take a break and be back in a moment.
Ever wondered what leadership is all about? Is it developed over time? Or are people just born with it? We believe there is a science behind leadership, and we want to help you understand it. Take this journey with us as we hear from renowned leaders from all over the world. Over our range of shows, tackling key spaces in different industries today. Leadernomics, the science of building leaders.
All right, we are back from our break. And once again, we've got Nikki over here who has a really colorful background. Just to give you guys a little bit of context, Kat and I have never met her. We wanted this to be as real as possible. So we just met through a mutual friend who said that we should totally speak to Nikki about life and internships and the working world. So we hope the listeners will be getting something out of this, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so over the break, we were just asking Nikki a little bit more about her background, which I think everyone else should be able to hear as well. So tell us a little bit more about this colorful background that you're from, Nikki.
Cool. So I basically describe my parents as hippies. Well, probably modern-day hippies, but they basically kind of just, like, didn't really know how to parent. You know, they're really great and fun. Like, they're really fun. They buy me my alcohol and take me out for parties. But then they're also... they used to just dump us into, like, the most, like... they just dump us into random places just so that they would occupy us, which I think is smart parenting if you don't know how to be a parent, you know? Mm. So, like, yeah, like, basically they would dump us into, like, ice skating, wood painting, still drawing, church camp, but we weren't, like, Christian. Like, my mom was part of a Japanese cult. Then we prayed to Buddha, and then we prayed to everyone. Like, I remember as a kid, I used to just pray, and I would list out every god.
Wow.
Because okay. I had no clue, you know? But, yeah, I mean, like, I think that's kind of how it is. And they used to, like, dump us to... so we started... my sister and I started working when we were, like, 13.
Wow.
So, because I was tall, I looked like a teenager.
Right.
Yeah, so I started selling Christmas ornaments, mm-hmm. and I sold Max, and then I worked in, like... teaching and kindergarten, and I don't know what other random things I did. But yeah, they just threw us into places so that they didn't have to deal with us.
Interesting. But do you think that being thrown at such an early age into so many different things, so many different exposures, do you think that helped you get an upper hand in any way? You know, the exposure, I'm sure, would have had its effect in terms of your career choice, you know.
Well, I think it was really good. And so, I mean, like, when we shifted, so we shifted to Chempaka, and they kind of have... a structured system kind of like that, where you do everything and experience it, and mm-hmm. as you grow older, you choose what you want, you know. So I think that really helped, because what you do is develop skills that you don't know whether you have interest in, you don't even know, and when you're younger, you just absorb it like a sponge. And then later, as you grow, like, make your own opinions, you can choose, but you have that skill, you already have that capability. And, like, learning anything kind of helps you learn anything as well, like,
right.
you know, I mean, the one thing that I really failed in was reading, but then eventually I kind of just, like, because I kept learning skills and stuff, like, well, I mean, I would just, now I would do that where I like Lord of the Rings, and I would look at the scripture, right. So I got, like, the app that translates random words, and it was like cheese sandwich, and then I would just write the symbols, and then I started doing that with every word and just cracking the code and deciphering it myself. So I think that helped, like, just learning to crack the code in anything I want to do.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So we've gone a little bit out of topic, but it's all right. Yeah. I just wanted to get to know Nikki a little bit. We've just got a few questions for you.
Sure.
So just feel free to be as real as possible. Right. So now, before you are in an internship now.
Mm-hmm.
You are doing it in a pretty big advertising agency.
Yep.
Okay, so, and with so much experience in the working world, so much experience with working life and career and stuff like that, what were you expecting when you were going for an internship?
Well, this internship, I mean, I just already knew I wanted to learn, right? But I didn't have any clue what to expect. Firstly, for the past, like, the whole time I was in degree, I really did not want an agency. It was funny that I was in advertising, but I hated commercialization, and so I was very against that. But then I realized, like, you know, there's a certain kind of intensity that I never really had with anything. So I wanted to try that. So I knew it was intense. Like, I mean, if anyone kind of expects to go in an advertising agency, I expected to not leave the office by midnight, honestly. Like, just be there, sleep there, and just kind of go crazy with work. I expected that life, which fortunately I have not gotten very often. And then I mostly just, I thought I would be, I could adapt faster, but it was really not the case, you know? And so, like, even if I could read, I would read, like, 100 articles a day and, like, processing and thinking and thinking as quick as everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't as quick as I thought I was, you know? Because, like, I kind of had that with my peers or in uni or whatever, but when you're in that world, I was like, dang, like, I need to step up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. You know, it sees that it's always heard that advertising means you don't have a life.
Yeah.
And I think for the future students who are going to the advertising agency, I think they should know. I'm just being very general here, mm-hmm. but I'm guessing that there is also part of a learning curve mm-hmm. for you instead of just going in, maybe doing really mundane editing and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, advertising is the most interesting because firstly, you sell everything and anything, and you can't sell anything without understanding it. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of like, even for me, just switching amongst like four different things, I have like government policies, macroeconomics, I've got millennials and Gen Zs, right? So I've got psychology and I've got econs, but then I also need to know about phones. Then I need to know about 5G. And then now I need to know about makers and low cost and art collective. And then like another thing, and it would just switch. Then I've got McDonald's and feel good moments and like social listening or like everything, you know, and you have food trends and drink trends and what's happening right around the world. So, I mean, like, I forgot my point.
It's okay. But,
oh, yeah. So advertising in that sense is pretty dope. The no life thing, I think, is very exclusively for creative.
Right.
So if you want to be, you know, the copywriters and the directors and the designers, like, you're really going to have to churn and hustle. And that's really because clients kind of do that. So I think if you want to go in, you also need to know how it works. And no matter how many times our lecturers tell you, you really don't get it. But like, clients are going to just be like, hey, I want this and I want it changed and I want it in 3-4 days. And so when you pitch, and I feel like my mentors pitch like 4 or 5 times, you know, like, they see the client, I don't know, 3-4 times a week. And you always have a deck, you always have a pitch. Yeah. But with a lot of that, you have to sit down and then you have the creatives having to come up and write 3 different scripts for one pitch and 3 different visuals. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they don't really have, you know, everything. And they're not just doing one client, you're doing multiple at the same time, you know? So if you like that, if you kind of like don't know if you have a specific interest in something, like in a sense of like business or whatever, like it's so cool to learn the world super quick. But yeah, you don't have life in that. With strats, you, or like where I'm at, you kind of do, you kind of don't. Like, you know, like they still go home. And like my mentors always tell me, go home on time and stuff like that. You don't need to stay in the office. But I mean, like generally I still like work on it like till midnight and stuff. But it also depends on your effort, you know? Yeah,
I understand.
Okay, right. So Nikki, I'm just going to ask you at this point about, you know, NeoSpice, right? Tell me a little bit more about NeoSpice and how that came to be.
Right. So NeoSpice, I mean, we're aiming for social enterprise, but like, you know, I just always call it a media platform.
Right.
And we kind of just started out on IG and it was just like, we're all friends. And it was just like, Nye and I are two of the co-founders. Mm-hmm. We were best friends since high school. And even though we've known each other for like a decade, it only came up when we kind of met each other again and discussed about our own mental health journey. And we realized that, firstly, it was really nice to kind of have someone who got it. In a sense that like a lot of people, you know, they can kind of empathize, but they really don't understand it. And so we were like, oh, like, you know, I'm sure someone else is going to feel that way. We really nice to kind of have that community. And then at the same time in uni, I had Zoe, and Zoe wanted to tell stories, and she's an influencer, but she kind of wanted something more substantial with that. Mm-hmm. So she started, you know, like talking to people, writing their stories and putting them on Instagram. And she connected with our other co-founder, Leo, who's like a business strategist, networker, I don't know what the word is, but he's just a mastermind. And so when Zoe asked me to kind of go into that platform, we decided to kind of combine it,
right,
rebrand it, and kind of figure out what we want to stand for, what we wanted to do.
Right.
And it was just friends, you know, like, I think you see it now more often with youth, kind of just putting it out on the... Yeah. On Instagram, like, advocating for it. But that's really the same thing that would happen. Like, fortunately, we had 2 influencers and 1 mastermind to kind of churn it. And for me, I'm the, like, thinker, researcher, content designer person. Mm-hmm. But then we just... I think it kind of, like, propelled forward because we just did something. Like, we were just talking about mental health. And then we're like, when is Mental Health Day coming? And we're like... Oh, it's 6 months. And I'm like, let's go to a school. Let's go talk to the kids. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, hey, I know someone who started an initiative.
Yeah.
And then that person came along. And then that escalated to 4 schools. And then that escalated to 6 schools.
Wow.
And then that turned into a panel with Hannah Yeo and Harith Iskandar coming in.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was just like our first project. And we're like, I mean, I was trying to deal with uni. And honestly, I had a lot of like crying moments in between, just running around trying to maintain everything. But it was just like, whoa, you know? And that happened. And then we had like stickers and everything. And then more kind of like people started getting like interests, and so we started getting more partnerships or invites, and then sexual harassment came along because we went from 4 people to having like at least 80 people wanting to join our community or do something,
right?
And yeah, so we kind of like,
it's gained a lot of traction. I mean I'm hearing
beyond
what you expected initially, especially
but I mean, I think now it's also harder because I just started full-time, and Nye also started full-time, and she lives in the office. She's an architect. I mean,
right, okay.
She's just architects. She purely lives there, like you know. And then Zoe went off overseas, so now it's kind of like I can't juggle so many volunteers and writing, but we're trying to do that. And that's why Leo started doing like videos and pushing that. And then again, it was just like we met someone who wanted to do something, and they want to do something about sexual harassment, which we kind of did because our volunteers want to talk about it. And so now we're doing that. And then now, and then someone came along, they're artists and they want to change the art scene, and like they met someone and like, and now we're planning for next year. So, I mean, like, it really is just people be like, hey, let's do something. And then let's figure out a way to do it.
That's
kind of that,
Okay. So how is your, you know, you say that you're currently juggling between internship and New Spice, right? How is that coming along? Because I'm looking and I'm hearing from you, and it sounds a bit tough.
Yeah.
Because with one of your friends living in the office, another co-founder out of the country, you know, it's just, so it sounds like pretty much just you, maybe a little bit of Leo. You know, Leo is probably like a real busy man. Sounds like a business strategist kind of guy. So it sounds like you're spearheading this, you know, while you're doing an internship. So how do you juggle between these two?
Well, I mean, I'm very lucky, especially with Leo. So Leo is like, Leo is very, very influential in being the ultimate cheerleader. And I think he keeps me in check. And Leo actually gets the most connections and projects, and he brings it in, but he's very supportive. So he might not be able to do the research and the design, but like he would actually just daily or like weekly just be like, hey, how are you doing? You know, and I think that is the reason why it can still sustain and I still have that motivation. But like Neo Spice also has this rule, if we ever need to take a pause button, like just press it and it's like I'm out for like a month or something.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so we're not, because we don't want to like, you know, push it everyday content just because, and then we lose that passion. So if anyone needs a break and we're advocating for mental health, like we just take it. So sometimes you see our feed and it's like, 1 month, it's just dormant, and mostly that's because like I design 1 month at a time kind of thing. And so if we need a break, if we're overwhelmed, like that's kind of how it runs, which helps, you know, because we want to do it, but we don't want to lose that passion. We still need to sustain, you know, and kind of achieve all that. So, I mean, but balancing is still tough. Yeah. Like, I always have to designate extra time. Leo plans his day and blocks it. And so I always go into the office 1 hour early. So 1 hour to dedicate to Neo Spice stuff. And then I'll do work. And then in between dedicate different days. So it's kind of like blocking that time. And then sometimes you still have like random texts or whatever. But like, you know, I kind of compartmentalize it. And I think that kind of helps.
Interesting.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's great that we touched on the subject of balancing, right? I mean, but being in an industry such as advertising, which is, you know, everyone knows advertising is fast-paced, it's demanding. What role or what space does mental health have in an industry such as this? And how much should someone be given the space to say no when you're being chased by client demands, you have 3 clients going on at one time, you have a brief, you have a deck? How do you, what space does mental health have in an industry such as advertising?
Well, I mean, like, I can't say for the industry. I can say what I've seen kind of so far here in, like, the company that I work at. And, like, so far, that's why I like it. And mostly just because I know how the mental health thing in the industry, by the way, like, I've been talking to everyone in my year that's currently on internship in an agency. And the cry count is, like, 6 or 8 people. You know, and so, I mean, for us, it's like our head kind of asks, like, do you have capacity? Like, can you do this? And like, you know, sometimes people want it and it's like, do you want to do this? If not, I'm not going to give it to you kind of thing. And there's also some people that like some clients really just like, there is an association that to protect the agencies, and they're saying you can't give us a deadline of like less than a week, but some clients do. Yeah. And so now like the agencies are taking a stand, like, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this pitch, I'm not doing this pitch. And it ends up pulling out because it's ridiculous, you know? And so they're kind of taking that stand as well.
That's great.
You know? Yeah.
All right, awesome. So last question, right?
Mm-hmm.
To all the listeners out there, what is your advice to a person who is going to do an internship in wherever they go? What would you want to tell them? What's your advice?
Well, I think mostly just because that's kind of where I was at and kind of sharing my story, I realized most people do that, whether you're an internship or in work, honestly. Like, firstly, no one knows what they're doing. You know, like, and when you go in an internship, you kind of look to your seniors and your mentors to kind of guide you. And they'll guide you, like, to the best of their abilities. And then, like, everyone had to tell me as well, like, we don't know what we're doing, but we're trying. We try to, like, learn and we try to make the best, like, informed decision. And that's really scary, especially if you're coming up from uni, because you had, like, grades, you had, like, lecturers kind of marking it, and then you're, like, valued on that.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's not that at all, and it's okay. Like, try your best. And honestly, I even got, like, a horrible, like, review at one, like, early on. But, like, it just is... it's business at the same time. Like, they're super friendly. They're so amazing and supportive as, like, coworkers. But then when you get feedback, it's because it's business. Mm. It's money. It's effort, you know, and it's... things matter now. But, you know, like, just keep trying. And even if you feel, like, insecure or down, like, it's okay. Like, everyone kind of feels that way. But don't stop. I mean, you can cry in a bathroom for a minute, but, you know, like, get back on that.
All right, so I guess her final... words would be, don't stop, even if you want to cry.
Just go
and cry for a minute, you know?
Take a minute, cry, and then keep on
just
trucking.
Just be real, basically. All right, awesome. Okay, great, Nikki. It was really nice having you on the show. And that is what Nikki shared on the pressure of having working experience while doing her internship. What a brave person to go back to uni after starting her career. Also, kudos to her for impacting the woman out there on her own platform.
If you like this podcast, you can follow Leadernomics FM on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Have a great rest of the day ahead. Ciao!
You've been listening to Leadernomics FM, the science of building leaders.